Today is Friday, April 4th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. The Madness of Trump's Economic War and the Necessary Socialist Response by Nick Beams. The sweeping tariffs imposed by the Trump administration on the rest of the world, friends and foes alike, have been widely characterized as economic madness, and indeed they are. They have been carried out under the banner of Made in America, which according to the White House fact sheet accompanying Trump's announcement is not a tagline, but, quote, the economic and national security priority of this administration, end quote. There is, however, no commodity that can truly be said to be made in America or in any single country. Every item produced today, from the simplest everyday consumer items to automobiles and the most advanced developments in computer technology and artificial intelligence, is the outcome of a global production process within an internationally integrated economic system. This raises the central question, if this be madness, which it clearly is, what forces are driving the Trump administration's economic war against the world? The superficial answer, which explains nothing, is to say that it is all a product of the madness of Trump the individual. History answers this assertion. There is no question that Adolf Hitler was mad and deranged, but he was brought to power by the German ruling class because of a deep crisis of its economy and state. He was the instrument of the ruling class for imperialist expansion and the smashing of the working class, which it saw as the only way out. Likewise, the rise to power of Trump and his actions are the product of a profound crisis of U.S. imperialism. It is now widely acknowledged that Trump's actions have shattered the remnants of the post-war international trading system, established after 1945, primarily under the actions of the United States. The post-war order was created to regulate and contain the contradictions of the world capitalist system, which had erupted in the first half of the 20th century in the form of two world wars and the Great Depression. Underlying its establishment was the ruling class's fear that a return of such conditions would provoke socialist revolution. One of the central features of the post-war system was the recognition that the tariff and currency wars of the 1930s, epitomized by the U.S. Smoot-Hawley Act of 1930, had deepened the Great Depression and played a significant role in creating the conditions for World War II. Given the development of the global economy, Trump's measures go far beyond those of 95 years ago. Economically, the post-war settlement was based on the industrial power and capacity of the U.S. Over the past 80 years, this dominance has steadily eroded, marked by a series of turning points. One of the most significant turning points was the scrapping of the Bretton Woods Monetary Agreement in 1971, when President Nixon removed the gold backing from the U.S. dollar. The growing U.S. balance of trade and payments deficits meant Washington could no longer honor its commitment to redeem dollars for gold at the rate of $35 per ounce. The dollar continued to function as the basis of international monetary and trade relations, but now as a fiat currency, no longer backed by real value in the form of gold, but solely by the power of the American state. The global financial crisis of 2008 marked another decisive turning point. It revealed that the foundations of American power rested on quicksand, a financial system that could collapse virtually overnight, corroded by rot and decay from decades of parasitism and speculation, which had steadily replaced industrial production as the primary source of profit accumulation. In 1928, during the period of U.S. imperialism's ascendancy, Leon Trotsky explained that its hegemony would assert itself most fully and openly not in a time of boom, but in a time of crisis, as it sought to extricate itself from its difficulties and maladies. These maladies and difficulties are expressed in the ballooning trade deficit, nearly $1 trillion last year, up 17% from 2023, the ever-mounting government debt now at $36 trillion, with an annual interest bill of $1 trillion, and growing concerns over the stability of the dollar, reflected in the surging price of gold, which continues to hit record highs. As in the 1930s, the logic of economic war today is the development of a new world war. In 1934, as war clouds gathered, Trotsky observed that while tariffs were economically irrational, they had a definite logic. They were a concentration of, quote, all the economic forces of the nation for the preparation of a new war, end quote. The national concentration of economic forces is the central theme of the White House fact sheet on tariffs and Trump's executive order. The document repeatedly raises concerns over so-called national security, emphasizing the inability of the U.S. to produce sufficient military materiel as a rationale for sweeping protectionist measures. In his executive order, Trump declared that, quote, large and persistent trade deficits constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and economy of the U.S., end quote. He asserted that these deficits have, quote, led to the hollowing out of our manufacturing base, inhibited our ability to scale advanced domestic manufacturing capacity, undermined critical supply chains, and rendered our defense industrial base dependent on foreign adversaries, end quote. Emphasizing this issue, the order asserted that the persistent annual goods trade deficit and the, quote, concomitant loss of industrial capacity have compromised military readiness, end quote. This, quote-unquote, vulnerability, it declared, could only be addressed through, quote, swift and corrective action to rebalance the flow of imports into the United States, end quote. The fact sheet declared that so-called trading partners could only obtain a reduction in tariffs if they took significant steps to, quote, align with the U.S. on economic and national security matters, end quote. In other words, fall in line with U.S. interests or you will continue to be hammered. With China designated as the principal national security threat, regarded across the entire U.S. political establishment as the chief obstacle to American global hegemony due to its rapid technological development, a central aim of the tariff edicts is to marshal other powers into an anti-China economic and military offensive. The new tariff agenda raises tariffs on Beijing to a total of 54%, 34% under the banner of so-called reciprocal tariffs, on top of a previous 20% hike. In an earlier era, such measures, which Bloomberg estimates will lead to a 2.3% hit to Chinese economic growth, would have been considered an act of war. The economic war is also directed against the working class at home. Despite Trump's assertions, backed by the UAW and other sections of the trade union bureaucracy, that it benefits the American worker. One of the big lies of the Trump regime is that tariffs are paid by foreign countries. In reality, they are a massive indirect tax on consumers, workers and their families, in the form of higher prices on a range of goods from groceries to consumer durables. Any relocation of production to the U.S. will not result in an increase in well-paying jobs. New factories will be highly automated, employing as few workers as possible to cut costs. Through the pressure of competition, this will only lead to further job cuts and intensified exploitation in existing plants. The global war being unleashed by Trump is undoubtedly madness, but it is not the outcome of the madness of King Donald. It expresses the insanity of the capitalist system, rooted in the contradiction between globally integrated production and the division of the world into rival nation states, in which private ownership of the means of production and private profit is rooted. This contradiction is necessarily most sharply expressed in the U.S., which seeks to resolve its crisis by crushing its rivals, first through economic war, and then through a new world war. The working class is impacted by the same crisis in the form of deepening attacks on jobs, wages, social conditions, and the evisceration of fundamental democratic rights, as Trump, with growing support from powerful sections of the ruling class, seeks to construct a fascist regime. The working class must undertake a political struggle for its own independent interests. Workers in the U.S. and around the world must start that fight by opposing all forms of nationalism. Tying themselves in any way to their own national ruling class in whatever side the tariff war they are on is, as history has shown, the road to disaster. The working class has the historic task of resolving the crisis of the capitalist system in a progressive manner, lest it be thrown into barbarism. The Trump tariff war must therefore become the stimulus for the initiation of a political struggle throughout the working class for the program of international socialism. The speed of events, above all in the past week, demonstrates there's no time to lose. As Trump's tariffs take effect, Stellantis announces thousands of layoffs in Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. by Logan Butchko, Shannon Jones, Jerry White. Only a few hours after President Donald Trump's Liberation Day tariffs were announced, workers across North America began experiencing the consequences. Stellantis will, quote-unquote, temporarily idle its Windsor assembly plant in Canada and Toluca assembly plant in Mexico. About 4,500 workers in Windsor will be impacted. Some 2,600 are employed at the Toluca facility. In the U.S., Stellantis is laying off 900 workers at factories which supply both the Canadian and Mexican plants. Workers at the Warren and Sterling Heights stamping plants outside of Detroit and two transmission factories and one casting plant in Kokomo, Indiana, are among those that will be impacted in the U.S. by the layoffs. In a statement to Stellantis employees, head of North American operations, Antonio Filosa, said, quote, With the new automotive sector tariffs now in effect, it will take our collective resilience and discipline to push through this challenging time. But we will quickly adapt to these policy changes and will protect our company, maintain our competitive edge, and continue delivering great products to our customers," end quote. The Stellantis executive added that the company was still assessing the long-term impact of the tariffs, but had decided to take certain immediate actions by idling the Windsor and Toluca plants. The cuts are the predictable result of the disruption caused by the tariffs, which amount to a declaration of economic war by the Trump administration against the rest of the world. Despite the lying claims by the UAW, President Sean Fain, that the tariffs will lead to more jobs for American workers, the reality is the working class will pay the price both in higher prices and layoffs. Any production, quote-unquote, reshored to the U.S., moreover, will come with demands for lower wages and other concessions. Trump, who has the support of major union heads, including Fain and Teamsters President Sean O'Brien, is aiming to create a fortress North America in preparation for world war against its global capitalist rivals. Fain has claimed that Trump, who is witch-hunting immigrants, deporting students for opposing the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide, firing thousands of federal workers, and erecting a fascist dictatorship, is fighting for the working class by waging trade war. In response to the layoff announcements, Fain issued a defensive statement feigning shock and blaming Stellantis management for the cuts while not mentioning the tariffs at all. Fain said, quote, "Stellantis continues to play games with workers' lives. As we've shown time and again, they've got the money, the capacity, the product, and the workforce to employ thousands more UAW members in Michigan, Indiana, and beyond. These layoffs are a completely unnecessary choice that the company is making," end quote. The UAW bureaucrat predictably said nothing about the loss of workers' jobs in Canada and Mexico. These cuts are only a foretaste of the jobs bloodbath that is coming. In reality, there is no such thing as an American car. Every vehicle that rolls off the assembly line represents the collective labor of workers all over the world, united in a globally interconnected chain of production. Tariffs will disrupt production and lead to economic collapse. If not stopped by the intervention of the working class, this path leads to trade war and world war, as the experience of the 1930s testifies. A World Socialist website Autoworker newsletter reporting team spoke to workers at the Stellantis Windsor assembly plant Thursday. Referring to Fain's support for trade war, one worker said, quote, "That reflects upon their ignorance. The auto industry is too tied together and integrated. It's going to affect his own members. Multi-billion-dollar companies are going to exacerbate the recession to the point that tariffs could possibly cause a depression like they did back in the 1930s. The collaboration of workers across borders would work," end quote. Another worker added, quote, "It's not a tax against us, Canada. It's a tax against the American people. It's going to hurt both sides. There are 5 plants in the States where there are going to be layoffs and a few in Mexico. We are so closely integrated, and we are in a profit-driven industry. I don't blame the American people. It's completely out of their control. We've worked together for decades. We can't be at each other's throats," end quote. Asked if workers should have a global strategy to fight the global corporations, he said, quote, "Absolutely. That's what the unions are supposed to do for us. But as workers, we can take it a step further," end quote. A younger worker said, quote, "This trade war is garbage. All the tariffs need to be finished right now. I just started this job 6 or 7 months ago, and I didn't think I'd be getting laid off this soon," end quote. Another worker said, quote, "I love my American brothers and sisters. I'm grateful to live next to America, but I disagree with the tariffs they are imposing on us. I won't let them divide us, and we'll do everything to fight that. A trade war is not good for anyone, including the U.S. It's a short-sighted solution to a big problem. Workers should be working together. We should not be pit against each other. My plant has been here for over 100 years. We are not taking any jobs from people in the U.S. It's just not possible. It's just not true. Us and a trade war only hurts all of us. The U.S., Canada, and Mexican workers should be together. Our economies are all integrated together," end quote. No less hostile to a unified movement of the working class than the UAW bureaucracy, the Canadian Auto Union called for retaliatory tariffs against the U.S. Unifor President Lana Payne said, quote, "Canada needs to respond swiftly and strategically to halt Trump's attempts to steal jobs and pick off industries one by one," end quote. These cuts in North America follow the announcement by Stellantis that it has scrapped plans for a battery plant and parts distribution center in Belvidere, Illinois, and scaled back plans for reopening its idled Belvidere assembly plant. The factory is supposed to open in 2027, with only 1,500 workers returning. The decision to reopen the plant, which employed 4,000 workers in the 1980s, was the centerpiece of the supposed victory of Fain's bogus stand-up strike in 2023. After the wave of mass layoffs that followed the sellout agreement and Stellantis' decision to put the Belvedere reopening on hold, the UAW launched the Keep the Promise campaign, which consisted of filing grievances and holding votes to authorize a strike, which the UAW bureaucracy never intended to call. Fain attributed the resignation of Stellantis CEO Carlos Tavares last December to his publicity stunt campaign, and then told workers to place their faith in Stellantis' new North American executives to, quote, work with the union, end quote, to reopen Belvedere and save American jobs. In the run-up to these new job cuts, the UAW worked with Stellantis to press workers in Michigan and Ohio to accept buyouts to proactively reduce headcounts. With a large sell-off on Wall Street and increasing predictions of an economic recession, job cuts are sweeping across the U.S. According to outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas, quote, U.S.-based employers announced 275,240 job cuts in March, a 60% increase from the 172,017 cuts announced the month prior, end quote. That's a 205% increase from March 2024, which was the highest monthly total that year. The total included 216,215 furloughs of federal government workers. Among other job cut announcements, Whirlpool in Amana, Iowa is laying off 650 workers effective June 1st, citing lower sales. Chevron, meanwhile, is cutting 600 jobs at its old headquarters in the San Francisco Bay Area in California. Graphic Packaging Holding Company plans to close its manufacturing location in Middletown, Ohio, eliminating 130 jobs. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org. The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.